Hello and welcome to Twin Peaks Investing with Peter Higgins at Conquest 3 and Wheelie Dealer at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. We're now starting our podcast number 19, folks. Thank you for joining us again and thank you for your continued support of the podcast, which is going exceptionally well and being well received globally. So thank you for your continued support. Pete, how are you, mate?
Yeah, really good, mate. Really good. Well, I say that. I mean, that's actually a complete bold-faced lie, isn't it? I mean, what a week. It's been absolutely bonkers.
It's been bonkers, mate, and it's going to continue to be bonkers. There's so many moving parts. And as I was saying to you earlier, it's a moving feast that no one actually wants to eat, you know?
Yeah, it's like one of those sort of like big jellies that you're trying to sort of like rein in, and it's popping out here and popping out there, and you're trying to get your hands around it, and it's just, yeah, it's nuts. It really is nuts.
Well, we spoke about this in, we tried to speak about it in podcast 16, which you keep referring everyone back to at the beginning of February, 7th of February. And we were talking then about the potential risk of the potential health risk in the sense of the coronavirus and how it could impact supply chains, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that health risk / coronavirus that we saw and we thought might impact some companies has now almost triggered a financial crisis. That's how it's feeling now.
It's a global financial crisis.
Global issue, you know. So we've got health risk that's become a phenomenon in itself. So it's now deemed pandemic.
I mean, I think, you know, for me personally, and I'm sure for a lot of people, you know, it sounds awful. It's always like a bit of racism in it. But you sort of feel that, you know, you sort of think, oh, you know, it's just a problem in Asia and it will, you know, it won't be a big deal. And it was really when it hit Italy that things kicked off. And it was, you know, we'd all been saying for ages that stocks were very highly valued. The market was complacent. You know, it just kept going up. Whenever it pulled back a little bit, it would go up again. And it was just so complacent. And, you know, there were a lot of sort of potential warning signs. And then obviously we had that collapse on the, I think it was like a Monday morning or something, where it got, basically over the weekend, we realized it had got into Italy. And that was just a complete game changer. And then it all just tanked.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm speaking to so many experienced people that some of them have been around 25, 35 years. Mm. And the consensus is they've never seen a market, a UK market anyway, move as fast and as swiftly in their lifetime.
That's exactly the same with me. I mean, I went through the credit crunch. You know, I've been investing seriously for 22 years or something. I went through the credit crunch and I thought that was horrendous and scary and horrible. But in many ways, this is worse. You know, the speed of the fall is just astonishing.
It's not only the speed, Pete. I think the speed had taken everybody by surprise. But it's indiscriminate selling that's happened regarding almost every single company. It's one of those things when there has been no safe harbour. You know, people are trying to hide in gold. Yeah. And gold hasn't really, you know, climbed as such. You know, it's...
Well, that's interesting because I haven't really looked at gold because, mate, I'm so busy on everything else. I haven't even looked at gold. And I know that, I mean, it was interesting because we were saying months ago that gold was worrying us. We said it on a podcast. We said, really weird that gold keeps going up when everything else is going up. It just doesn't feel right. And as it happens, gold was predicting something, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, mate. I mean, one of the things that always concerns me when every single boat rises,
it's not normal.
Yes, absolutely. And now we've got a situation where everything's going down. So what I did, Pete, was I posed a question to the head of communications, a chap called Richard Hunter, right?
All right.
Now, Richard Hunter is the head of markets at Interactive Investor. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's often on podcasts on Mail Online with Simon Lambert.
Is he on Twitter or anything?
He's
on
Twitter. Yeah, I'll give you the handle later on. So he's the head of markets at Interactive Investor. And he put out a really good blog and video. So I posed the question to Richard, and this might help, or I'm hoping by doing so and sharing with you guys the reply that he gave, it might help a little bit. So he's spoken on the video about what's going on in the markets and concerns and strategies and so on and so forth. So I just asked him a question. I said, look, would you just share some information with me? So I pose this question. Sorry, I'm just trying to find
Yeah,
it
that's
fast,
all right. Now,
so I can
for a
read it
second,
out.
I thought our IT had crashed again because of
No,
like the silent moment. Oh no, not
I'm trying to
again!
read this
It
to
must
you.
be the bandwidth straining because we're all
No,
working from home.
I'm going to try to read this verbatim. So just please bear with me. Okay. So great video, Richard. Thank you for sharing your views and thoughts on this. Please could I have your thoughts on the following? The ECB, BOE, Fed, and the Bank of Japan have in recent days all attempted to avert a recession by financial engineering, the sheer scale of which appears to have panicked investors even more so. Is it possible that there is something else, in brackets, let's take the financial impact of the coronavirus COVID-19 out of the equation for a moment, close brackets, underlining the financial markets that is sucking out all the liquidity and causing all financial instruments and asset classes to be sold off at the same time. Thank you in anticipation reply, blah, blah, blah. That's me. Okay. Richard kindly came back and said, and basically said, absolutely. Right. This is his reply. Thank you, Peter. My understanding is that liquidity is being drawn by companies shoring up their credit lines. The central bank's moves were designed to prevent another crunch. The additional fiscal measures we now have seen should hopefully trickle through to the real economy quickly in terms of individuals and small businesses. Whether these steps are enough to assuage markets remains to be seen. I suspect we may have a limited but welcome nonetheless impact until the economic force of the virus globally becomes clear. Kind regards, Richard. So that answers the reasons why everyone's seeing mining stocks getting hammered, restaurants being hammered, yeah? Resource
Yeah, I
companies.
mean, that's interesting because.
You've got almost every single asset class and every single sector of the FTSE All Share. There has been no safe harbour.
Oh, yeah, everything's been so closely correlated. Everything's just falling together. It's interesting because that is very much what happened in 2008, 2009, where at the worst moment, everything was just falling together. There literally were no safe harbour. You couldn't go anywhere. It was just all tanking. Now, today, the Bank of England cut rates slightly. So when are we recording this? Thursday, the 18th,
Thursday
no,
the ninth,
19th
it's
of
Thursday the
March.
19th, and it's 18 minutes past six at the moment.
So today they cut interest rates again, which I mean, they're on the floor anyway. But what's more important is they pumped 200 billion more of QE, quantitative easing. And so I think that brings it up to something like 760 or 670 billion or something that they've done recently. And they actually said that the reason they were doing that was they could feel tightening starting in various credit markets and whatever. And that's very much what you were saying about liquidity being drawn out of the system and a credit crunch like we had in 2008, 2009 starting again. And they've acted with this QE and stuff to nip that in the bud.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm gonna give you some of Rishi Sunak's quotes now. We will support jobs. We will
So
support incomes.
he's the chancellor, yeah?
Yeah, he's a chancellor. Yeah, Chancellor of the Exchequer. We will support businesses, and we will help you to protect your loved ones. We will do whatever it takes. It's that's you know that rhetoric that we get from the Tory Party, which
Well,
the comforting words, and we need to hear them. But when he made his first announcement. Yeah, the budget on the on first announcement was the first stage of the government's economic response to cushion the blow from COVID. It was a 30 billion package of support for people and businesses. Now, in this latest announcement, he then declared another 330 billion of guaranteed funding to help businesses. So it shows you and everybody else yeah, with these government-backed guaranteed loans equivalent to 15% of GDP, that they are trying to head this off at the pass. Because it says to me that what we saw and what people were saying before, oh, this might just be flu, this will pass, it's all right, it's only in China, like you said earlier, Pete, yeah. And then when it's now here, we've had deaths in the UK. The numbers of people that are being diagnosed with it and, you know, infected with it and so on and so forth is going up. And we've not hit the peak numbers yet. And some people are saying if you use Imperial College's methodology, it might be July we hit peak,
Well,
right?
that's funny because today, literally before we started recording this podcast, Boris was doing his daily press conference, and he said in there that he wants to have turned the tide in 12 weeks. And he thinks if people follow the measures that they've outlined and whatever of social distancing or whatever you call it, then they can achieve that is achievable in 12 weeks. I mean, obviously, there's no guarantees, no one can know. But how I understood that was that the peak would be in 12 weeks. We would then go over the hump and we'd start on the downward side. So instead of the number of cases per day accelerating, the number of cases per day would decelerate. But obviously the catch with that, as I'm thinking about it, is that that doesn't mean that we can all go out to play in 12 weeks' time. It means we just turn the corner and we probably still need to stay locked away and in prison for like God knows how much longer, you know. So this could go on for 6 months or something.
That's my concern. You know, we've seen the schools close in Wales, in Scotland, in colleges and universities, and parts of Ireland even. And we were still ebbing and flowing and thinking about it, considering it. And you know, some schools have taken it upon themselves to close. And now we're told that the schools are going to shut from tomorrow. So that's quite an interesting development as such. But you know, the likelihood, if that is the case, and we don't hit peak until June, July, is that schools are out, aren't they?
Oh,
June,
they're not, you know,
end of
you can
July.
forget your
So,
summer holidays. You
yeah.
won't be having another term till the earliest, what is it, September when they go back to school?
September, mate.
Yeah, you can almost forget that. I mean, to be honest, I'm not being funny. If I was a kid, I'd be loving it. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the difficulty though, Pete, is that you've also got older children who have been doing mocks, who have been doing,
And their exams
preparing
are all
for
messed.
GCSEs, preparing for O levels, preparing for university passes, you know,
They
and
need to move on. I mean, they are basically saying that they are, it looks like they're going to award grades by some kind of system and there will be an appeals process. But they need to get that news out really quick to soothe some nerves because a lot of kids and parents and whatever are going to be well stressed out about that. But it was sort of saying that it wouldn't impact anybody's chances going on to further education. You know, they're absolutely cognizant that this is a problem that it wasn't the fault of the kids, it wasn't the fault of anybody really, you know, and they're going to do the best for it sort of thing. And I think they mean that, to be quite honest. I don't think they have a choice.
yeah, I mean, they don't have a choice, and I think that they have to protect the children. I think,
They
you
got
know,
to.
having spoken to some health professionals and also some senior figures in the education sector, what concerns them and what a fair few of them are absolutely miffed. I'll use the word miffed rather than any other word about is the fact that the government ran pandemic tests and models, Pete, in 2011, 2012, 2014, and 20 and 2016. After each exercise, one of the things that came up every single time was a recognition of respirator shortages, right? Needed for masks and equipment for the
Yeah, I
frontline
saw that.
staff. And they were marked as priority, Pete. So if you've got it, you've done it four times.
Well,
The
priority,
last
and
one
they
was in
haven't done it in like
2016.
8 years, or like 10 years.
2016 was the last one, right? And you had 4 years to sort it out, and we still don't have them. So to this m minute now, we still have a shortage of ventilators, respirators, masks, etc., etc., for our frontline heroes that are out there at the forefront of trying to, you know,
It's
safeguard
grim.
everybody in the UK.
It was interesting. I was watching the Trump press conference just before the Boris one actually this afternoon, and it was interesting there because they're getting things like who is it Honeywell and 3M are going to be producing masks and things, and they're getting what are normally seen as like industrial grade. I might have got this wrong, but how I understood it was things that were normally seen as like an industrial grade mask was going to be allowed to be used for medical purposes. Yeah. And they think, you know, there's no problem with doing that. You know, I don't think there is, in that if these things are safe for asbestos and stuff, they're going to be safe for use in medicine, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So they've passed bills, emergency bills through Congress and stuff, whatever it is, to get that done. So, in a way I see it, it's almost like there's two strands of the problem in a way. There's like, obviously the virus problem, yeah, you know, the risk to health and all the rest of it. But then you've got a separate problem that has been triggered, and that's the economic problem. And I think the health one, they can't really do much about for, you know, we just got to let time take its course, you know. But I think the economic one, they can do stuff about, and they are going to do stuff about. So, for instance, you know, we just talked about the Bank of England stuff. There's been rate cuts all around the world today. Even in like Brazil, Australia, places like that have cut rates. And whatever, and the ECB yesterday announced, what was it, 750 or 760 billion of QE, more QE.
Yeah.
But the,
it's a very coordinated approach, Pete. They're all, it's almost
and it's got to be
this conversation. You know, we're left the EU, but we're still having to speak to all these other countries to do a coordinated approach, whether it be in for the European end or the South American end. Or Australasia, you know, I mean, they're all working together.
But it has to be like that. If you remember what happened in credit crunch, you know, we had to get together with all the other, you have to do a coordinated thing. And the other thing that's happening is tomorrow, the Chancellor, the UK, is supposed to be giving more details on the economic measures. And it looks to me like what's going to happen, because Boris kept saying today, the government will stand behind you, business, and you, business, must stand behind your employees. So in other words, don't sack your employees, keep them on. We're going to give you money to pay their wages. That was basically the message I was taking, and we're going to find out more about that tomorrow. I think when and if that happens, and if it's done in that kind of way, I think the markets will love that.
I think the markets will love that, but the most important thing, Pete, is that there are so many people, including teachers and all the rest of it, that whose kids are going to be at home. They're going to have to find additional childcare, going to find someone to care for them, for their children. But also, there's all these restaurants, mate, all these pubs, yeah, all these cafes, all these small businesses, which are all on the brink now. So he has to safeguard those and those entities, because the bulk of the GDP is made up by small and medium enterprises,
well, that's
Pete.
That's how I understand it. I think that's what's going to happen. But to be honest, mate, there ain't a choice, right?
They ain't got a choice, no.
They ain't got a choice. I think what's going to happen is like a restaurant, yeah, is going to be still paying its staff through the payroll, and somehow the government is going to get cash to that restaurant so that it can then on-pay its wages to its staff, and it keeps its staff on. The reason for this, the really important bit, is that if they don't do this, and if it leads to mass unemployment and whatever, we will actually destroy the structure of the economy, which will mean that if we can retain things as they are and sort of put business on hold for 3 months, 6 months, whatever it's going to be, then as soon as the virus is beaten and things go back to normal, we can just turn the tap on and the economy will bounce back really fast. But if you've destroyed the structure because no one's got any employees lined up or whatever, it's going to be a lot slower to recover, and it will be like the Great Depression.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some people are calling it a reset, Pete. You know, a reset for financials and also pensions and all the rest of it.
I think it's concerning that the solution is yet again more QE, more low interest rates, more debt. But to be honest with you, we are where we are. We really don't have a choice. What one interesting one I picked up was that, if you think about it, right, you think about World War II. You know, we went into World War II. We had to defeat Hitler. We had to defeat Japan. Yeah, there just wasn't a choice. It just had to be done. And basically, we just borrowed and borrowed and borrowed and borrowed and borrowed. And, you know, it just didn't matter. And we're in a similar situation now. Now, at the end of World War II, our debt to GDP was something like 20 times our GDP, right?
Yeah.
Even after the measures that the Chancellor has already announced, it's still only 2 times. So we're way, 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 way under what we were after World War II. And at the end of the day, if we could do it in World War II, we can do it now.
I mean, this is the thing, and I spoke to some finance guys last week. It's probably going to be my last time visiting London for a little while, and
That's
I
a
was at.
shame, isn't it? That's the worst thing about it, isn't it? It's like I'm so missing all my trips to my pub to meet with my mates and chat
Yeah,
about, you know, it's just
this is
killing
it. I
me.
mean, I'll tell you about something else later on, but the beauty of it is, Pete, and speaking to these finance guys, I met with the two financial funds chaps at Polar Capital last week, and they were speaking about banks, obviously, and the financial aspects of what's going on, and the European banks, most of them, and definitely the UK banks are in the best financial strength they've been in since the financial crisis.
Oh,
So
definitely,
they're the ones not causing the problem this time. It's almost every single thing else. You know what I mean?
definitely,
So
definitely.
they've got their buffers and all the rest of it, They're in good shape, but the Bank of England having taken interest rates down again to I think was it? Are we at 0.1 now? Is that
Yeah,
what
I
it
think
is?
we're pretty much as
We're pretty
lowest as possible to
much there
go.
where we are, which has been the lowest level since
Well, ever, isn't it? I think
ever
ever.
in living memory. So this quantitative easing, we were saying only last year. Let's hope that's the end of that now. Let's hope
Oh
we don't go
God.
there anymore. You know what I
Oh,
mean?
how wrong were we? No.
So
I mean,
they've taken the total up to 645 billion, Pete, in a heartbeat. We've gone
oh,
from
just that.
last month, and now we're up to 645. So it tells you how serious they are taking this.
Oh, it, yeah.
We've got another MPC meeting on the 25th. I'm not sure. Hopefully they don't need to do anything else after that. But we've already had the mortgage holidays. Yeah. Don't pay your rent to your landlord holidays and all. There's lots of stuff going on to make sure that safeguard as many people as possible. So
The
they've
trouble
been
is with
very
that, it's only part of the solution, isn't it? It's like you can say to people, you don't have to pay your rent or whatever, but then it gives the landlord a problem, and that's why they've got to get behind business and get behind landlords and get behind everybody, basically.
Yeah, they're going to try and do their best.
Wonder
So
if they'll
it's
get behind my battered portfolio. Yeah, it seems
Yeah,
unlikely.
well, that may happen. That may happen, Pete. I mean, this is the thing we spoke about before, ladies and gents, right? And Pete and I, we haven't called this perfectly right yet. We've made mistakes in our own
Made so
portfolio.
many mistakes, it's untrue, but hey.
Everybody at the moment is hurting regarding any stocks they've held, in their portfolio after, I would say, the 20th of February onwards. If you've held a stock and you're still holding it now, everybody's in the same boat, whether you're a fund manager, institutional fund manager, whether you're a private investor, whether you're a high net worth individual, whether you're a wealth manager looking after private monies, whatever, everyone's hurting. Okay?
Absolutely.
So we said before, be considerate, be kind, look out for each other. Now, some of us are doing that more than others. Some of us can do a bit more, right? But whatever you do, don't go on social media and start having a pop at anybody about their stock or this stock or whatever. Just have a look at what you're saying and how you're behaving, all right? Because everybody is hurting here.
Oh, everybody's suffering. I mean, the only people, I mean, I know a couple of really shrewd guys who moved into cash, pretty much just at the key time, and they are in such a good position. The big problem they're gonna have is getting the cash in quick enough again. Because my suspicion is that once we get, well, I've talked already about what's gonna happen in the UK in terms of stimulus and bailouts and God knows what else. But the same is going to happen in America within days.
Yeah.
They said in the press conference today that what did they call it? The economic relief program or something. All the bills, the acts in America always have like weird names, don't they? What is it? The Tarnished Assets Relief Program. Anyway, so they're going to do this thing, and basically it will be, just massive, massive measures to bail out all of American industry. And they are talking about this fascinating thing called helicopter money. And it's this idea that you give everybody in society $1,000, and they talk it may even be more than that. And it's basically just like a direct injection of cash to everybody in the country, which will overcome the problems of people who, aren't getting paid or whatever for a little period of time. But it also gives a nice boost to the economy and gets a lot of cash in the system, which is going to help. There's no doubt about it, it's going to help. And I heard something interesting today because they're talking about it for the UK as well. But from what I heard from what Boris was saying today, it sounds like they're not going to do it in the universal way where we all get given £1,000 or something, which I'm absolutely gutted about because I would absolutely love that.
You
But
don't need
anyway,
the money, Pete.
yeah, but that's not the point. Anyway, one of the things that was said, and I picked up on, I thought that was really interesting. They said that what they could do, because the problem you've got, right, is how to target the people in difficulty.
Yes.
Because they don't know who's lost their job and who hasn't lost their job and who's struggling, who isn't. It really is difficult. So it might be just easier to give everybody what they call a universal basic income. Yeah. So it might be, I don't know, like over the next sort of 6 months or something, they just give everybody 10 grand or something, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But what they would then do is they would claw it back through the tax system. So they'd probably have a thing where in the future, if you're like a higher rate earner, you're going to pay higher tax, which will effectively get back that money they gave you in the future,
Yeah,
which is quite a clever way of doing it, I think.
I mean, it's financial engineering, but essentially you're
I
trying
mean, it's got to be now, isn't
you're
it?
trying to put you're trying to create liquidity by people buying stuff and being able to survive this period of time. Now, you and I will look at the situation and think, you know what? How long would an additional $1,000? I mean, they're talking potentially, Pete, of a $1 trillion stimulus package, potentially, right? And if you go down to it being a $250 billion package, that could be around, as you said, $1,000 for every American citizen. Okay. Now, how far does $1,000 go in America if you're living in the middle of the US?
It doesn't go far, but it overcomes a problem for a week or two, and they can then do more of it. I think that's probably what might happen.
Okie dokie, because the thing they did earlier as well, Pete, was they said that everyone could get a coronavirus test. So that was forced
But
by the
yeah.
one of the politicians over there to get that passed. So everyone should get a test. Everyone gets $1,000. That's gonna help. But obviously, the numbers of people that are poorly and got infections in America is going to be heading quite high when they hit their peak. So that money's going to be needed a lot for a lot
Oh,
of people.
big time. I mean, one of the problems, and I find it absolutely exasperating. All these people on Twitter and that are like, oh, it's just like normal flu. I mean, it's just such a load of nonsense. And one of the things that people just don't seem to get their head around is that this thing, the number of cases of this virus, it grows exponentially. So it's literally doubling every 4 to 5 days. In some cases, it's doubling every 3 to 4 days. So if you do the math, if you've got like, I don't know, 3,000 cases today, in 3 or 4 days, you've got 6,000. 3 or 4 days, you've got 12, you've got 24, you've got 48, I can't do the math, but the bottom line is, within a month, you get into the 3, 4 million cases. You're then talking 1% of those could die. Because that's the kind of mortality rates they've been getting. 1% of 4 million, what's that? 40,000. 40,000 deaths. And you're calling that common flu. I mean, get a grip, people,
I
It's just
know. I think this is the mistake some of us made, Pete, at the beginning, but some people are still running that it's only a flu thing.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. They
It
need to
is. I mean, people
get a grip.
got to come up to reality now as to what it is.
But it particularly annoys me because I'm obviously vulnerable. I'm a paraplegic wheelchair user. Because of the height of my spinal cord injury, my lung capacity is hit. So I think if I was to catch it, it'd be really bad for me. Do you know what I mean? So it's like when I see things like, I just think, God, you're just being an idiot,
I mean, unfortunately, people are gonna
It's just
wise
what
up.
people are like, innit? It's just what
Some
people are
people
like.
are gonna wise up, and they're not gonna have a choice to wise up, Pete. There's
Yeah.
still people now, frustrating quite a lot of people on Twitter because they're all, in groups going, over to France, over to Spain. They're taking the Brittany ferry and finding out that Spain's shut, and they're still doing what they're doing. It's like,
What is going on?
please, please, please just stop. You know what I mean? Have a think about it. Consider other people other than yourselves. You know, I mean, this is the problem we've got with individuals today. Your grandparents, right? My grandparents, everyone's grandparents went through all kinds of, I won't use the word, World War One, World
Up
War
to their knees, mate. They were up to their knees in it.
Yeah, they're up to their knees in it.
Up their
Through
necks
all
in
of
it, let's
that,
be honest.
and we're saying to people, you know what? If you can, only do what you need to do. Don't go here, don't go there. And they're like, nah, I'm doing exactly what I want. There's nobody, there's very few people listening to authority anymore. And this includes bright, educated adults as well, of all countries.
It's
And,
really
I've
true.
seen some brilliant videos of people in Italy where they're all got this little estate, and it's high rises and they're all playing music together and they've been
Yeah, and they're all
confined for days. They're
singing operas and
finding ways of keeping each other motivated. And as a
yeah.
community, we need to do as much as we possibly can, whether it be our local village, our local whatever, our towns and cities and communities. We have to do that everywhere. We can do a bit more to help other people to just keep it together. Because one of the problems we've got, obviously, is the stress levels of people have gone up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the house at the minute with my wife and I, and she's working from home. I'm working from home. Tomorrow, my daughter finishes school. It's gonna be three of us confined, mate, for a couple of weeks. I'm gonna be thinking, oh my gosh, all that
Yeah.
mindlessness.
You'll be lucky if it's a couple of weeks, mate.
Well, I'm
Well,
saying, but do we survive a couple of weeks? You know what I mean? Because I'm using my mindfulness, my wife's
yeah.
using her mindfulness, the daughter's, and we're still getting on each other's nerves. You know what I
No,
mean?
mate, you're going to be
But
at one end of the house. She's going to
oh
be at the other.
mate. So we have to think about each other and find other ways to keep each other motivated and be as pleasant as possible. Pete, going back, just some
Yeah.
stats here. Coronavirus, Italy's death toll overtakes China. The total number of global cases has surpassed 220,000, including nearly 9,000 fatalities. Over 84,000 patients were reported to have recovered. That's the positive news,
Yeah,
right?
that's good.
More than 10,000 cases reported in the US. Italy extends national lockdown, overtakes China, as I said, in the death toll. Spain to see a new daily record of 209 deaths. That's the daily record, folks. So this is the numbers compounding it, compounding themselves. All schools and universities closed in Delhi. Yeah. So this thing is increasing, and we're not through the worst of it yet. If
Oh,
anywhere's through the worst of it, potentially it's Wuhan itself, where apparently, from all the reports that you're getting, that's where it started from. But
yeah.
we don't know the truth of that yet, and I'm sure historically we'll find out at some point.
It sounds like South Korea is starting to get on top of it as well, doesn't it? I think. So there is some sort of hope, but trouble is we're a long way behind that. And they were saying in the US press conference today, they reckon the US is 4 to 6 weeks. Hang on, I might, yeah, 4 to 6 weeks away from the peak, they were saying. So they're probably at the same sort of position we're in, really, in America.
Yeah,
Although I thought they were a bit behind, but they seem to be sort of like similar timescale to us, so.
the thing is, Pete, the numbers are going to be going up regarding diagnosed people because they're testing more people. We aren't testing as
Yeah.
many people. So all we're seeing on various bits of social media, various footballers and celebrities being have been deemed to have contracted it and have found infections and had various tests
Did you
and proven
hear
to have it.
today that Michel Barnier had caught it? I mean, that's
Michel
just
Barnier, yeah, the chief negotiator for the EU, yeah.
terrible, isn't it?
So
You
he's
know.
going around doing his best he can to sort everything out and do everything
Yeah.
for all different parts of Europe, and he's contracted it. So, when
And
significant
he's not a
individuals,
young man, is he? Do you
he's
know what I
not
mean?
he's not a young man. You know what I mean? And
Awful.
this is what I'm saying. This is a serious thing, and people shouldn't just start kicking off just because X, Y, and Z has been proven to have been given a test. Some of these are significant individuals, and because of who they are, they've got private health insurance. You know what I mean? So it's not just a case of, oh, he's a celebrity, or he's a football player, or whatever. He's the boss of that, or he's the head of this. So therefore, he's been given a test. That's not how it works.
No, that's
You know what I
so true.
mean?
Mate, I'm
So.
coming back to the market stuff. I want to cover some market stuff, and I'm sort of worried that we're going to run out of time. So I want to mention, it was a funny event this week, right? I don't know if you noticed, last sort of 2 or 3 days have been absolutely horrific, haven't they? I don't know if you noticed, what a stupid thing to say. Last 3 days have been horrific, haven't they? Really nasty. And something that struck me is that normally when a market sort of bottoms, yeah, and I'm not saying this is the last bottom, it could be that we bounce and then we have another lower bottom in a few months or something. But usually when there's a bottom, you get, you know, a capitulation where it's like the sort of last bulls, you know, the people who are still bullish, they get so fed up and so depressed and whatever, they sell their shares at completely the wrong time at the bottom, and then it starts to rally. And I normally you'd expect a capitulation, certainly on a stock, in one day. Yeah, it's like a one-day reversal. You get a massive volume where the share price is driven down, and then the bulls come in and drive it back up again. Yeah. Now I wonder if it's partly because of the liquidity crunch, if the capitulation has actually taken 2 or 3 days, because Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday has just been horrendous. Well, not Thursday, sorry, but more Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday have just been horrendous.
I don't know, Pete. I'm of a view.
And high volume, really high volume.
I'm not sure about that yet, Pete. I think that given the length of time that this thing is going to continue to be in front of us, this coronavirus COVID-19 situation,
yeah,
and the fact that we're not going to hit peak potential infections and, unfortunately, folks, some deaths, that this is going to run till June, July, right? So the volatility is going to continue.
I'd be surprised if it carries on as volatile as it has been, because we're all going to be exhausted.
I'm not saying the volatility will continue, Pete. I'm saying the recovery from where we are.
Oh, yeah.
And where the bottom might be is that we may have people wanting and hoping for a V-shaped recovery. I don't think we're going to get that. People were hoping and praying that we'll get a U-shaped recovery. My view is that we won't get that. My view potentially is that this could be a W-shaped recovery. So we get
I agree with that. A potential
bottom. I'm not sure where that may be. We'll get a little sort of situation come July when it's like, oh, it's declining. Yeah. And the deaths are reducing. And we're looking potentially opening the schools again in September, blah, blah, blah. And then we get a little spike up. Yeah. To wherever that may be at the time. And then those sort of hopes and aspirations aren't actually met, yeah, for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we come down again, and then they are met, and then we get the next leg of the W. So whether that's in 6 months' time, 9 months' time, or 12 months, I think we have to get used to the fact that, you know, we were at 7,500, looking at 8,000 during 2020 to be hitting 8,000.
The Americans were at 7,900, didn't we? Yeah.
The Americans were talking about Dow at 30,000.
Yeah.
And where did it close today? I don't know the Dow. I've not looked at the Dow.
Sure. Yeah.
The FTSE's at 5,151 today. That's where it's closed. Yeah.
Yeah.
From people talking about it being at 8,000 today. Now, it's not all doom and gloom, because some of the companies that we've talked about in the past and we weren't sure about are at massive, massive discounts to where they were before. There were some stocks that were richly priced. There were some stocks that were perfectly priced that are now 30, 40, 50% lower. Yeah. So I've been saying to people, we've talked about strategies in the past and we tried to prepare people for the uncertainties, Pete. And you said in one of our famous podcast, what if the markets crash tomorrow? What if we were down 50%?
Yeah, I didn't actually mean that to happen.
No, Pete, we're here now. The FTSE is down 30% plus from where, you know, prior to when you said this.
So I think the FTSE is down about 40% at its low, which feels to me like, okay, it might not be the bottom, but it certainly feels like we're getting pretty near it.
Well, we could well be, Pete, but this is what I'm saying about the uncertainty of what all the different things that are going on.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
we've got to be mindful. I mean, let's just talk about some of the stocks that have done reasonably well out of all of this. Now, one of the stocks that's reasonably unloved and people are a bit cautious of is a retail company, right? People go, oh, retail's dead. This is a retail company, which is a tech company, which is a logistics company.
Avocado. Mate, you'll be lucky to get an avocado again in your lifetime.
Ocado, Pete. Ticker symbol OCDO.
Yeah.
Over the past month, right, it is up 27%, Pete. Right? Over the past week, it's up 36%.
That's a great performance in an awful market,
It's a
isn't it?
fantastic performance. Now, it's a stock that I've ridiculed and gone, nah, not buying that. It's going to get
I've been
about
the
to get to
same, yeah.
this price. All of a sudden, every single thing that it's wanted to have and as aligned in the sense of almost everybody needs to shop online sooner or later because they're not going to be
Yeah.
allowed in the shops. You know, they're having a silver surface at the minute, so silver surface can go and get the groceries and all the rest of it. They've had all this panic buying, so all these logistic hubs need to be refilled up, and you know, you've got to re you know, we may have the army on the streets doing deliveries soon. You know, we have volunteers doing deliveries to people's houses and looking after everybody. You know.
OCDO put out news today, I think, didn't they? And one of the things I picked up in it is they sort of said we're struggling to meet the demand. It
Meet
is
the
so,
demand. Yeah.
yeah,
How much better
which
can
is a lovely problem to
it's a
have, isn't
lovely
it?
problem to have.
I
So
mean,
you've
along
had
the same lines, companies like Tesco's, presumably Sainsbury's, Morrison's, must be as a business doing reasonably well, although.
they've probably had better like for like sales, mate, than they would ever imagine for March. So
Yeah.
you've got Morrison's up 8% over the month, 12% over this course of this week so far. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sainsbury's are up 3%. A week ago, Sainsbury's are up 12%, right? So
Yeah.
they're all doing reasonably well, the retailers. Not
The
all of them.
obvious problem with Sainsbury's is the fact it's got the Asda bit, the Argos bit as well,
Argos bit as well, yeah. But
which might not be doing so well. Although then again, it does home delivery, so you know, maybe they'll be okay.
there might be okay. I want to talk about one very popular retailer though that people don't deem to be a retailer, but it is, right?
Yeah.
And that's Games Workshop, Pete.
Oh yeah, GAW. I saw someone.
GAW.
I think it's our mate Paddy. What's his name? Paddy. Not Paddy
Paddy,
Power.
no, Paddy Spud. Yeah.
Paddy Spud. I think Paddy Spud on Twitter. I saw he bought some GAW today.
Yeah, so it's one of those that's been very, very popular. Lots of people hold it. Lots of blogs have been written about it. Lots of bulls were in the stock, and it's done phenomenally well over the past couple of years. It peaked out at £73, 75 pence as
Yeah.
recently as the 7th of February. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it was a really hot spot. Markets were doing well, trading updates were doing well, very, very profitable, etc., etc., etc. Now, one of the things we spoke about was looking at supply chains and looking at risks to this coronavirus. Now, this is an element that people, I think 99% of people in Games Workshop did not foresee, right? One of the things that's happening is that lots of retail footfall has just dwindled off to absolutely nothing. Yeah.
Yeah,
The vast
yeah.
majority of people that are doing panic buying are going into the retail outlets to buy stuff they need, not stuff they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're online, you've still got a chance of selling certain things. Yeah. Irrespective of the people that want stuff, they still want stuff and they'll go online to get it.
The GAW
Yeah.
got a reasonable online presence now, haven't they?
They've got limited, if not minimal. Yeah.
Oh, is
And
that right? Oh, I'd always assumed they were sort
the
of going
expert
that
from Games
way.
Workshop can correct me on that, and tell me exactly how much they have online access to. But the share price has gone from £73.75
Yeah.
today, when I looked at it last, was £39.90.
So it's
Now,
come
that's
back
either
nicely,
a
yeah.
steal and a bargain, or there are some things there that the bulls didn't see. Some of the people that bought the stock didn't fully research it and have gone, I'm not holding this for another 6 months or 6 weeks or 6 minutes. I'm getting out because it's a very lightly volume traded stock on
Yeah.
average day trade
I think it
day
was one of
trading.
those again where like we said earlier, valuations were stretched, and I think it was another one where the valuation simply got too high. And when you've got a high valuation and you get a problem, bang, down you go, you know?
I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I hold a
Hey,
stock.
sorry to interrupt. We're
Yeah.
probably about 5 or 6 minutes from the end of this podcast if we're around time constraints. So,
Yeah,
mate, I don't know what you want to
we
do.
are. So folks, what we're going to do is we're going to curtail this podcast in a few minutes, and then we're going to do part two, and we're going to
Yeah,
record them both on the
good idea. We've got
same
plenty to
topic and
talk
get it
about.
out because there's so much we've got to fit in here.
Yeah.
Right. So Pete, so the second stock is one that I hold, right? Again, it got quite richly valued, yeah?
Yeah.
And that's Future PLC,
Oh
yeah?
yeah, FUTR, yeah.
FUTR, which a lot of people got involved in. And I'd held it for quite a long time, and I trimmed it at one stage. Now,
Nice move.
I didn't envisage, having the stock down at sub a pound many, many years ago, that it would ever hit the heights that it, dizzy heights that it did.
Oh yeah. What did it get up to then?
It got up to, I think it got up to about 16 quid, Pete. I'll have to double check one
Yeah, it might
second.
have been a little bit more. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Let's
Any
see.
idea where it is now then?
Let's have a look. Right. So we got up to, nearly 16 quid. Yeah. Back in November of last year.
Yeah.
Okay. And today,
Yeah.
I trimmed it in October of last year in a
It's
row. In,
so
in,
important to trim, isn't it?
yeah.
Risk
If you,
management is so important. Don't be
if,
greedy. Trim a bit off.
if you, if you, what, if you're celebrating a stock, and I've said this before to people, it's usually time to sell a little bit. And I said
Good
this you
point. Yeah.
throughout the year, I said to you,
Yeah.
I said that to you,
I like that.
September.
If you're telling all your mates, "Oh, I've done really well on future,"
Yeah,
that's telling you it's time to slice a bit off. You
absolutely.
know what I mean?
So I
This.
trimmed it in October, 31st of October, in the range of 1517 to 1520, Pete.
Yeah.
You can pick that stock up today for 6 quid,
£6. Oh
£6,
my Lord. I mean,
right?
I remember they had some issues with like a short selling
Oh, they've
attack,
been
didn't they?
attacked by short sellers here, there, and
But
everywhere.
even so, that
But
seems really beat up.
that's beaten up. But the problem you've got is, obviously, with their space is marketing, right? And advertising and so on and so
Yeah.
forth. All these
Magazine.
companies that were doing events, that were doing
Yeah, events are a problem, aren't they?
sporting events or any type of event,
Yeah,
or
yeah.
marketing their products are reining that in now because of this COVID virus stuff. They're focusing on other things.
Of
So
course
that
they
share
are.
price has gone from nearly £16 to 6 quid in a matter of months.
Mate, we need to finish it off because we're a couple of minutes from the end, so I don't know if you want to just top it, tail it off, and we'll do part two.
Okie dokie. All right then, folks. We're going to hit into part two shortly. Thank you for staying with us on this journey. We've got a lot to cover, so we're going to head into part two. But before we go, I want you to thank all of you, ladies and gents, that have given us such wonderful feedback
Yeah,
regarding the
thanks,
last
Jordan.
two and three. All of the podcasts that we've had wonderful, wonderful
Great response.
feedback from all of you.
And hit the subscribe button.
I mean, again, if you can subscribe, please do so. We love to hear from you. We've had some great listeners, again, from some rather, I mean, it appears random, but clearly we're making a good reach of things. Ukraine again, thank you and hello. USA, thank you and hello. Canada, Ireland, Cyprus, Hong
Well,
Kong,
there's someone in
Bulgaria.
Budapest we have to say hello to. Hi in Budapest.
Budapest, Australia, Malta. Thank you all for listening to our podcast, and we appreciate your continued support. And just please all just stay safe, keep yourself healthy, look after yourself, look after your friends, look after your family. And if you can, get in and out of your communities to do as much as you possibly can, but keep yourself above all else safe. Okay, we're going to
See you in
come
part
back.
two.
See you guys, ladies, gents, in part two. Take care. God bless.
Cheers.